Good morning, and welcome to the services of the Lord's house for this, the third Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. We begin our worship this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, Lord, open now my heart to hear.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, January 26th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 908, Lord, Open Now My Heart to Hear, hymn number 908 in the Lutheran Service Book. Tom and Chris Lockenauer are sponsoring the altar flowers to the glory of God in thanksgiving for their many blessings. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in thanksgiving for their many blessings.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The just decrees of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward.
Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults.
Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Be with you. Let us pray. And everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and to defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and of those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people could understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the sacrament of holy baptism, what does such baptizing with water indicate?
It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever.
Where is this written?
St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life."
The epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if an ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard that you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town, and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of the Lord, we confess our common Christian faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, any children who would like to are invited to come forward for the children's message. Okay. Today, just put your hands up. Now look at your fingers. Wiggle your fingers. Okay. Now, touch your shoes. Oh, that's more difficult than I thought. And touch my shoes. Can your hands help you take off your shoes? Yes, they can. Okay. Now, wiggle your ears. All right, now, touch your ears to your shoe. Oh my gosh, we got a couple who could do it. Oh, wow. Now, without using your hands, can your ears take off your shoes? No, they can't, can they? Right? Now, can you smell with your eyeballs?
No!
Can you see with your nose?
No.
No. Okay. So, parts of your body do different things, right? God designed it that way, that you could do different things with different parts of your body. Do you walk with your hair? No. Can you put shoes on your teeth?
No.
Okay. Can you brush your elbows?
No.
All right. So, but can you see with your eyes?
Yes.
Can you smell with your nose?
Yes.
All right. Can you walk on your feet? All right. Can you chew with your teeth? All right. So all kinds of things in your body have a purpose and are to do certain things. Now, St. Paul in our reading is telling us that we are all the body of Christ, and we all each have different gifts that we can use for service in the church and to help accomplish the work of the church. And the work of the church is to tell people about Jesus. That's the work of the church. And there takes all kinds of things to get this work of the church done. It takes people who mow the grass, people who pass out bulletins, who work with the bank, who change light bulbs, who do all kinds, who teach at our school, who do wonderful and many, many things. Now, does everybody do everybody else's job? No. No. If everybody tried to do everybody else's job, what would that be like? If you tried to be the dad, how would that work? It would be awkward, right? Because if you showed up at dad's work, what would they say to you? Get out. Like, what are you doing here? Where's your dad at? Did he bring you to work today? No. And if dad came down to school and tried to sit in your desk all day, how well do you think that would work? That would be awkward. Yes, that would be very awkward. So we each have different gifts and different skills and different things to do. Now, later on this morning, you're going to see some people come forward up here. They're going to stand up here. These are people who've been elected by the church to do different roles. They might be working in the Sunday school department. They might be working as school board chairman. They might be working on the board of elders, but they've been elected to serve in the church. Different pieces, but all one body. Just like we have different pieces and parts of our body, but it's still one body. So in the church, there are many different jobs to do and different people to do those jobs. But without all the people doing each and every one of those jobs, then the church couldn't do what the church is supposed to do. And what is it that the church is supposed to do? Tell people about? Yes, tell people about Jesus. That is absolutely right. So we're very thankful for all of these folks and all of the people who come to church and who help get the message out that Jesus lived and died and rose again for us, that Jesus is our Savior, and that in Jesus we have life everlasting. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for making us one body, but also thank you for making us the many members who make up the one body. We pray, O Lord, for all those who have said yes to being servants in the church and who are going to be installed today as officers of the congregation. We pray that you would bless them each in their jobs and help them to accomplish their jobs well. And we also pray that each and every one of us would respect those who do jobs in the church and let them do the job that they have volunteered to do. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you would all return to your seats, and we'll continue the service with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 839, O Christ, our true and only light. Hymn number 839 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
The sermon text this morning is taken from today's gospel reading. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, first, we want to put this into a little bit of context. What's going on here? What time frame is this? What time frame in Jesus' life is this visit to Nazareth? All right, we can place this visit to Nazareth in its proper context. Jesus' return to Nazareth didn't happen immediately after his coming back from the wilderness following his baptism. So Jesus is baptized. Jesus goes out into the wilderness 40 days. Okay. Following his baptism, he comes back. So this should be Jesus' second visit to Nazareth after he has taken up his preaching office. Notice Luke says he returned to Nazareth. So after his return from the 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus called his first disciples. He called Andrew and John, Simon, Philip, and Andrew. Then he went to the wedding in Cana, and he performed his first miracle. Then he spent a few days in Capernaum, and then he returned to Jerusalem for the Passover, and he spent some time in Jerusalem for the Passover. This was the time where he first cleansed the temple. And remember, Nicodemus visiting him at night. So Nicodemus had already visited Jesus at night. And then because of the hostility of the Pharisees, Jesus decides to leave Jerusalem. Now, he doesn't confront them at this time because now is not the time to do that. It's not his time to die. So Jesus leaves Jerusalem and he tracks back up towards Nazareth and he goes through Samaria. This is when he goes through Samaria. That's when he stops and talks to the woman at the well. Remember that episode of Jesus talking about life-giving water there at the well, and he preaches to her and the people of her town. So Jesus' fame, his preaching, his miracles had all preceded him. The people in Nazareth had heard what Jesus was up to. They had heard the things and the wonderful things that Jesus had done. And the power of the Holy Spirit was upon Jesus, and he was fearless in his preaching and in his teaching, not only just not confronting those Pharisees in Jerusalem yet. Now we find Jesus in the home of his youth. We find Jesus in the town where he grew up and where he was nourished in both body and soul. Remember when they said, you know, they returned from the temple when he was a 13-year-old boy? And it said Jesus grew in stature and favor with man. Well, that's growing in stature as he grew up physically, and in favor he was growing up mentally and emotionally as well. And people were, oh, look at this kid. You know, he's kind of a bright kid, smart kid. I would imagine this is what they said about Jesus. We see evidence then that Joseph took care of his family, both physically and spiritually. Joseph worked hard to provide the things that a father wants to provide for his family. Food and shelter, along with a solid grounding in the worship of God. We know that because Jesus' custom was to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, right? He was taught as a young boy that this is what you do. When it's the day of worship, you go to the church. Jesus went to church when he was a kid. He went to church when he was adult. We teach our children when it's Sunday, we go to church. And then hopefully, and in the will of the Lord, when they are adults, they too will attend worship services in the same manner that Jesus did. So now we find Jesus entering into the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath day. And he's recognized as a teacher. He's recognized as a rabbi. And he was given leave to read the scripture and expound on it to the congregation. And unrolling the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, he finds the place where he reads the text for today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to those who are captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty all those who are wounded, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of God anointed Jesus for a very specific purpose, to bind up the brokenhearted, those who have, in essence, received a fatal hurt, to preach deliverance to those who are bound in prison, recovery of sight, you know, a sense that has been lost, once had, was lost, and now is going to be recovered. Those wounded, those who are not only deprived of their liberty, but who have been crushed and maimed. Here is the great prophecy of God restoring the people of Israel to the place where they used to be. The speaker is not the prophet, right? The one who's speaking in this text is not the prophet, but the speaker is the Lord. The speaker is the Messiah himself. And how startling then is when Jesus actually says, hey, folks, guess what? This is about me, right? This text is fulfilled in your hearing. This text is about me. He applied those words to himself, and he told the people that they were living in the time of the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I'm the Messiah. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. He is saying he is the Messiah. Now, who can imagine the effects that these words had on the people of his hometown? People had known Jesus since he was a little child. Jesus says that he is the great servant of Yahweh. Jesus says he is the servant of Yahweh, God himself. Jesus claims to be the long-expected Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God. He is not merely a preacher of deliverance. He himself is the deliverer, and freedom comes through his word. Freedom not from earthly powers, but freedom and release from the prison house of sin and from the chains of Satan. So here Jesus describes the purpose of his coming into the world. He comes to the poor, the fatally wounded, the prisoners, the blind, the bruised. The poor are those who lacking in innocence and holiness, those who are conscious of their poverty, those who have come to know the knowledge of their sin and who are like the publican at the back of the synagogue. Remember at the back when he said, the Pharisee was up front, Lord, thank you for not making me like those other people around here, that I'm so much better than them. Thank you for that. And the guy in the back, you remember the guy in the back? He was the poor. He was the brokenhearted. He was the one daring not even to lift his eyes to heaven, but kept his head bowed and said simply, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When we hear the poor and the brokenhearted, those who have been pummeled and bruised by this Satan and the sins of the... That's the guy. God, be merciful to me, a poor, miserable sinner. This is who Jesus came for. This is who Jesus is coming to save. This is who Jesus is talking about and talking to. To such, Jesus will preach the gospel, the freedom that comes from sins forgiven, standing ready to supply what the people lack. The brokenhearted, those who are wounded to the death by sin, those who are terror-stricken by the vision of the conscience accusing them, confronting them for being a violator of God's will that they know they have done, that they are sorrowful for their sins. To such people, Jesus will proclaim, I am the one that heals you. He will proclaim to them the good news. He will blot out of their sins so that they are remembered no more. Jesus will preach to the captives, those who are bound in the chains of Satan, in the chains of sin, lying in the dungeon of everlasting death. To those people, Jesus proclaims deliverance, striking off the chains, breaking the bars and the locks, and opening the doors to the prison that they are in. They know that through their own fault they have lost their sight. And now they are groping and stumbling and flailing around in the darkness and in the ignorance of their sin. And he, the light of the world, shines into their darkness and into their hearts to give them a knowledge of the light of the glory of God, the light of faith in the Savior and in the atonement he brings. Nor is the captivity in which they languish a mere state of miserable existence. They are beaten. They are bruised. They are crushed. They are mashed down and tormented by a cruel master, just like Israel was in the land of Egypt. So what did Jesus do? He invited the laboring. He invited the heavy laden to himself. And what is he going to give? He is going to give rest for their souls. He is not a political Messiah, not a political Savior. He is a Savior from sin. He is the Savior who will release us from the bondage of sin, death, hell, and the devil. He is the one who will give rest to our souls. That is Jesus' office. That is what Jesus has been anointed for. Jesus is willing to preach the gospel. He's willing to give the gospel. He is willing to proclaim the good news of his vicarious satisfaction, his substituting himself into our place underneath the wrath of God over sin. And he is prepared to be good news for the people who are brought low. Brought low by the law, which leads us to a knowledge of our sin. Jesus, knowing the hearts of the people then, who's listening to him, confronts them. Right? He says, this is what I'm going to do. All these things you just heard, this is what I'm going to do. And then he looks at him and he says, but you're going to quote me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Do the things in Capernaum. Do the things here that you did in Capernaum. But it's not going to happen. Remember the prophets, the widow of Zarephath. Remember what happened in those days. That's what it's going to be like here. This is what he's telling the folks. He's looking right at them. Those are hard words to hear. And when the law lays bare our souls, those are very hard words for us to hear now. Jesus talks to these people whose hearts are hard, who are basically saying, repentance and forgiveness, that's good for other people. But we don't need that. We're fine. We're just fine. We're okay. Jesus calls them out, and he lets them know that they're going to hear his word. Their reaction is not one of humble repentance. The scripture tells us the people rose up in wrath. They went from a few moments earlier saying, wondering and marveling at the gracious words that came from Jesus' mouth, to rising up in wrath, getting ready to grab hold of him, lay hands on him, take him out to the edge of the cliff that the town was built on, and chuck him over the side. They turned into a murderous mob. And in a miracle, Jesus effectively blinds the people. And he passes right through them. Just like it was in Jerusalem, it's not his time to die. Not yet. Oh, he will die. He will die the proper and the right death for the sins of the world. But today wasn't that day. And so Jesus walks away from them. So I guess the question before us is, what about you? Which class are you in? Are you among those freed by Jesus who are ready and willing to live a life of repentance and living in Christ's forgiveness? Or are you confident that what Jesus has is good for others, that you're fine and you don't need that? Would you be broken and sorrowful if he called you out, if he laid bare your sins in front of you? Or would you be ready to chuck him out of your life if he called you to repent of your sin? It's really worth thinking about, isn't it? Where are our hearts at? Where do our hearts lie? Rather than chucking Jesus out, may we listen when he speaks to us. May we let him bind up our broken hearts. May we let him heal our wounds and free us from our sins and release us from the prison house that we have been bound in. We ask Jesus to do these things. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now I ask that newly elected council members and board members please come forward at this time for installation. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and are appointed to serve. In so doing, the Church follows the example of the early Christian Church as described in the book of Acts, chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each of us have received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I ask each of these newly elected officers at this moment to please turn and face the congregation, and starting on this end, state your name and the office you will fulfill.
Diane Breen, Recording Secretary.
Rod Meyer, Congregational President.
Peggy Meyer, Chairman of the Board of Christian Education.
Sarah Schwanz, Finance Chairman.
John Clem, School Board Chairman.
Tim Neitzel, I'll be serving as your elder.
Marcia Greenslade. Greenslade, can't even say my name. Board of Stewardship Chairman.
Sue Meyer, Assistant Treasurer.
Betsy Pash, Treasurer.
Thank you. If you would please turn and face the altar. You have been chosen to fulfill specific offices and positions of responsibility here at Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church. You are each to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, and that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the earthly affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. And while holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and in devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the office entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
I now address the congregation. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of the faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of Zion Lutheran Church. Do you promise to support them in your work, in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I therefore install you as officers of Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and Most Merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and to the good of his people. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest upon this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under the kingdom of under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and who have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen." Go now in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and Most Merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you and preserve you. Amen. And I invite you to return to your seats. Let us now all rise for the prayers of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, you revealed yourself to the people of Nazareth, and they could not hear your word to them. You, the living word, read the Father's written word, showing yourself to be the Messiah. We ask that, unlike the people of your hometown of Nazareth, we might ever lay hold of you as our Messiah, our Savior and Redeemer. Keep us in the true faith, ever receiving your merciful healing word all our days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Father in heaven, our Creator, we come before you this day praying for those among us who grieve the death of their loved ones. We pray for Barb Brandt and her daughters as they mourn the death of their husband and father, Butch. We thank you for receiving Butch to your side, that he has passed this veil of tears and now resides in glory. We pray also for Helen Connect and her family, as Helen mourns the death of her husband, Tom. May Tom's family take comfort in the baptismal waters that he was washed in and place him in your loving and forgiving hands. Grant your peace, O Lord, to those who mourn. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear God, also hear our prayers for Henry Bartman, as it appears he is coming close to the end of his earthly life. If it be your will, may he be granted a return to health. Yet not what we will, O Lord, but what you will, asking that you would give Henry the faith that places his body and soul into your hands and claims you as a gracious Father. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Loving Savior, you healed our infirmities as you walked the earth. We ask you now to hear our prayers for those who are sick and who are in need of healing. Watch over Reese Woolley as he continues his hospital stay. And we ask for continued strength and well-being for him. We also pray for Lori Bishop's daughter-in-law, Amanda, as she is hospitalized with heart issues. And we ask for your hand of healing to rest upon Amanda, returning her to strength and to her home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
These and all other prayers, Lord, we bring before your throne of grace and mercy, asking that you would bless them and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace. Thank you.
The closing hymn is hymn number 409, Hail, O Source of Every Blessing, hymn number 409 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. A couple of announcements here. Let's see, I think it was in October voters meeting, the congregation voted to raise money to give to Camp Soka to help. It's their 75th anniversary of Camp Soka, so they've got wanted to give all the campers a camp cost of $75 per camp, and they were asking for people to help defray those costs. So we're up to $800 to send to Camp Soka, and next week we're going to have a door offering to see if we can get over that $1,000 mark, how much we can get over the $1,000 mark, and then send it along to Camp Soka. Remember, we have a voters meeting Tuesday, 7 p.m. in the auditorium. All the voting members of the congregation are invited to attend that meeting. The junior high and senior high. Today, those who have pre-registered to go to Sky Zone are going to meet at 1 o'clock in the parking lot and go over to Sky Zone. I believe that's in the Bloomington Sky Zone, isn't it, Peggy?
I think it's Springfield, but I'm not really sure.
Oh, Springfield, the Springfield Sky Zone. Okay. All right. So meet at 1 o'clock in the parking lot. We'll meet Sam Opperman there, and then returning about 4:15 p.m. Later this afternoon. Also, I just got word from the radio room. If you head home by way of 5th Street, Ron, Janin, 5th and State is closed for a water main break. So if you go home by 5th Street Way, it's closed right now. So I have to go around the block or go around or whatever. Is there anything about pancake and sausage that needs to be announced? Just nothing other than what's actually in our bulletins this morning. So may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.